I Suck at Dating with Dean, Vanessa, and Jared, an iHeartRadio podcast.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to an all-new episode of Help! I Suck at Dating. I'm Jared Haben, joined always by Dean.
Haben.
You got that?
I don't think I've ever pronounced that properly.
Oh, it's all right. Dean, tell the people who you are.
Hey, everyone.
They already know who you
are. I'm Dean.
So welcome to a new episode, guys. We have a special guest that's on the phone right now. Her name is Lauren Berger. Lauren, hello out there. Are you there?
I'm here. Hi, guys. How are you?
Hey, Lauren. We're great. How are you?
Good.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. I did pronounce your last name correctly, right? Berger?
Burger like hamburger.
Perfect.
Ooh, yeah.
That's perfect. I thought of Burgermeister from Santa Claus is Coming to Town. Anybody?
Yeah.
I'm glad you got that reference. Burgermeister.
Great. Well, burger jokes aside, Lauren.
Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, thanks for having me on the show.
Of course.
I am CEO and founder of a website called careerqueen.com and internqueen.com. Both are free websites that help people get from where they are to wherever they want to be. And my third book just came out today, which is very exciting. So it's called Get It Together. And it's all about how busy we are and how we all want to kind of disconnect and how we need to disconnect if we're ever going to be sane people and just how to, you know, work smarter and not harder.
When you say disconnect, what do you mean by that? Because we have had in the past someone who said she dropped her phone to better connect with the people around her. Is that kind of what you're talking about?
Yeah, exactly. And just, you know, we're also anxious. We're also stressed. We're also overworked. You know, something that I started doing is I stopped scrolling Instagram before I go to sleep. When I go upstairs to go to bed, Instagram does not come. You know, and it's really kind of training yourself to not look at those things that are just going to kind of give you, you know, a little bit of anxiety.
So not to get too personal, but what do you do before you fall asleep? Do you read now?
I read. I'll go to shopping websites because for me that's relaxing and I'm not getting caught up in what other people are doing. But I've really found that disconnecting. I'm the CEO of a company. I've been running it for 10 years. It's super successful. I took my email off my phone and I get a lot of guilt trips about it. But you know what? I'm okay. The business is okay, and I'm so much, you know, I'm just better able to connect with the people around me. I'm more engaged with conversations, so I think it's really all about that disconnection.
While on the topic of anxiety, quickly, I've noticed myself before falling asleep, especially lately, maybe over the past month or so, I've been getting incredibly anxious, especially when I'm watching a show that I've already watched before. Like if I would put on The Office, I'm I'm not benefiting anything from it, you know? So it's I'm sitting there and I'm what am I doing? Why am I doing this? I'm not gaining anything from anything. And I would go to sleep anxious.
And it almost sometimes makes me feel more comfortable when I'm watching a show that I know.
Well, that's
before I go to bed.
100%. That's what I am used to doing. Like I said, I've watched The Office maybe 20 times from start to finish. But now I'm where is the utility in that? Why I should be reading or doing something more constructive, I guess.
Yeah, and I feel like it's about, in the book, I talk a lot about knowing your needs. It's knowing what works for you, you know, what makes you anxious, what doesn't. And then really, you know, making sure that you follow through on, you know, whatever's going to relax you and whatever's going to help you disconnect. It's different for everybody.
So would you say that disconnecting for you isn't necessarily getting off your phone or the internet, but it's more so getting off of social media?
For me, disconnecting is getting off of social media. I don't want to look at who my boyfriend from high school is dating. I don't want to look at a competitor, you know, the other career coaches in the land. You know, I want to disconnect. It was funny. I did another podcast with a Bravo reality star, and maybe you guys can relate to this because of the nature of your, you know, jobs. And I was telling her that for me, I can go to TMZ.com, and that helps me disconnect. And she was like, not for me. That just makes me feel like I'm not cool enough and I should be going to the nice guy every night. So I don't know how you guys feel about that. But for me, you know, social media, I disconnect by not being on Instagram, but I can relax by going on TMZ or some, you know, celebrity gossip site.
So what got you started into this industry anyway? Because your big thing is about finding an internship and you have a successful YouTube channel about it. You've written three books. How did you even begin to start this process?
Yeah, so I had 15 internships when I was in college, which is kind of crazy. I went to UCF.
I'm overachiever.
Florida, yeah. I live in L.A. now also. And when I was trying to find an internship, no one could help me. And I just wanted a better way and a better resource. So I started Intern Queen with $5,000 of personal savings. I've never taken any investment money. And, you know, 10 years later, not only do we have Intern Queen, which helps people get internships and career advice, but we also launched the Career Queen Network.
What's the Career Queen Network?
So I should have followed up with that. So Career Queen is kind of the big sister site to Intern Queen. So now we can help all of those young people that kind of grew up with Intern Queen. We can help them connect with kind of the next step, which is that job. So it's, you know, free job advice.
I love that.
No, that's really cool.
Yeah.
It's interesting, too, because obviously we're a dating podcast. And so from your perspective, being very busy in the career world, internships, I mean, you had 15 internships during college. If you don't mind me asking, you're married, correct?
I'm married, yes. And my husband's actually an entrepreneur, so that definitely helps.
So how, in your personal opinion, do you balance work with relationships?
Yeah, you know, I think it's about prioritizing. And even for people that are driven by work like myself, I think, and I talk about this in the book too, it's so important to put family and relationships first. And like I said, my husband runs his own business as well. And so if we wanted to, we could both be on our phones all day, all night. Mm-hmm. But it's really a matter of saying, okay, you know, this is disconnection time. For us, it's when I get home, we always go for a walk. We call it taking a loop around the neighborhood. And it's our time to leave our phones home and for an hour just kind of connect with each other. So I think it's about prioritizing, you know, couple time and really taking that just as seriously as you would take a meeting for work.
Well, I think, too, the stuff that you help others with, like curbing the anxiety, disconnecting, all that kind of stuff, then plays into being a better partner and leads to more successful relationships. At least I would imagine it would.
Absolutely. I mean, how are you going to meet a guy at a bar if you're sitting there scrolling on your phone, right? Like, you have to be kind of present, and you have to take in every experience and really kind of make the most of it. And then, you know, it's funny, my Intern Queen message is put yourself out there and don't take no for an answer. Yeah. And I feel like in the dating world, you know, I think that's important too. I believe in putting yourselves out there. I'm always telling my single friends, like, you know, go up to that guy, introduce yourself. Like, what's the worst that can happen? He's going to say no. Who cares? You know, then he's not the right guy anyway. So I'm all about just putting yourself out there and really not following too many rules while dating. I mean, I certainly did not play it cool at all when I met my husband.
How did you not play it cool?
I mean, I'm just not cool.
You sound awesome.
I mean, you know, you're not supposed to. Most of my friends, if they meet a guy, like, they won't text, they won't call. I was texting and calling him nonstop. I think I asked him to pick me. I was like, hey, after like our second date, I was like, I'm flying back into LAX. You should really pick me up from the airport. You know, I really didn't wait for him to make the move. I knew what I wanted, and I didn't want to pause for game playing, I guess. So I just kind of went for it.
I respect that.
I respect that a lot.
Yeah.
You just put yourself out there. You're very forward.
It's not going to work out.
Right. Well, and someone's obviously got to kind of get the ball rolling with all that kind of stuff as well. So, quick question. In your book, I believe it's this new one that came out, right? There's a 17 guiding principles that you have in there that you've outlined, right?
Yep.
So, could you give us like a quick, maybe top three of the 17 guiding principles that you want to share with the listeners?
Yeah, I think, you know, one of my favorite ones is do things based on your method, not your mood. A simple example of this is, you know, you say you're not going to go to the gym. A friend said to me last night, like, do you want to go to the gym tomorrow or are you going to be too tired? I'm like, no. Like, the plan is to go to the gym. We're not going to rely on my mood, which would be being tired. You know, we're going to stick to the script here. And the script said, I want to go to the gym. So do things based on your method and not your mood. Your mood doesn't matter. You know, you really got to stick to the script and, you know, stick to your plan. And the same advice goes towards if you're having a bad day. 2 weeks ago, I had two of my employees quit out of nowhere. It was a terrible day. But if I let that throw my whole day, I wouldn't have gotten anything done. So when that happened, I stuck to the script and I followed through on my original schedule for the day. And I got things done, you know? So I think that's one of the most important pieces of advice in the book, as I talk about that a lot. The other is embracing rejection. I started my business with $5,000. It's doing really well. And if I would have let the no's or the rejection stop me, I wouldn't be anywhere. So I always say, like, get married to rejection. You know, embrace rejection, love rejection, because it really helps me get from where I was to where I am today.
Do you have a secret to everybody listening on how to better handle rejection? Because I think for me personally, it's really tough being told no, 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 and then keep really being persistent and moving forward. Do you have any type of secret that you can tell everybody? Be like, listen, this is how you can accept and move on with rejection.
We should get Ashley to come in and speak to that.
One thing that I really like doing, and maybe this is kind of a tip, is whoever rejects you, whether it's, you know, maybe you're going after a job or you're pitching yourself an opportunity, when that person rejects you, friend that person on LinkedIn. Become their best friend. Stay in touch with them 3 times a year. Turn that no into a yes. And I'm telling you, I've been doing this for over 10 years, and there are so many deals that I get, so many cool brands that I work with, and I've been after those people for 3 years, you know, and they've been saying no for years, but I turn that no into a yes simply by staying in touch. So I really think that, you know, taking advantage of those contacts that you're getting, even the people that are saying no, can really help.
I think that was, so before, maybe a couple years ago, I was in a sales role at a staffing agency, and in those sales roles, you are constantly being told no. And I just think my psyche was unable to handle it. It got to the point where I was like, you know, you talk to 100 people a day and all 100 people say no, but then the next day, like 99 people will say no, one will say yes. And I just, like, I wasn't really able to get past that roadblock for me personally. So I wish I had a book like yours to read when I was 23, 24.
Yeah. And it's funny you say that. I have a whole chapter about refining your goals, and I talk about exactly that, which is, for me, I like to know the numbers. Like, and this might sound a little crazy, but as a businesswoman, I know that if I send 100 cold pitch emails, I'm probably going to get about 10 responses. I'm probably going to get on the phone with 5 of those people. I'm going to close one deal. And the power of knowing your numbers is really big, because then you don't have to get caught up in the no's. You already expect them. You know they're going to happen.
Yeah, it's very true.
Yeah, that's really
I think
true.
That same logic can apply to dating, as Jared was saying, too, just because, well, and same with how you met your husband, obviously. You got to be persistent, especially if you know it's something that, and someone that you want, and that can go a long way, especially in today's landscape and dating world, I feel like.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I agree. Well, Lauren, thank you so much for joining us today. We really appreciate it. So please tell everybody where they can find you.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you guys can follow me at Official Career Queen and at Intern Queen. I'm going to send you guys messages after this.
Great.
And then Get It Together is out today. So you guys can get it on Amazon, at Barnes & Noble, at Books A Million, or anywhere where books are sold.
Great. We'll make sure everybody pick up a copy today. Get It Together.
We should have you jump on Ben's podcast, Lady Bosses. I feel like that'd be
an
awesome platform for you too. Definitely. I would love to. And I'm a huge Bachelor fan. So all my love to you guys, and you guys are killing it.
Oh, you're the best.
Lauren, thank you so much. We appreciate it.
Thank you again for calling in, Lauren. It's great to hear you're doing great. Talk to you soon.
Thanks.
All right. Thanks, Lauren. Well, she was very sweet. That was very nice.
I think a lot of that logic, that she obviously is more of a business-centric minded person,
yeah,
but I think a lot of that logic can apply to dating as well.
Oh, I agree. The idea of failing, but then trying to still be persistent, because everybody, like, how many times we've had messages about people being rejected or dates not working out, and they just feel so deflated, they never want to go on another date again. But here's a woman who's saying, no, what you need to do is just keep pushing and accept the no and accept the rejection, but understand that it will get better, and just to keep pushing forward. That's a good message.
It's like when my body tells my head to work out.
Yeah, it's like when I look in the mirror every day and I'm like, you know what? It's just not worth going to the gym, because I'm not going
to... Because you just don't want to drive to the gym.
That, and I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to see any results. But you just got to push through that, Dean.
It's the method, not the mood, Jared. And one way to develop the best method, as far as I'm concerned, Beachbody On Demand.
Oh, I completely agree.
I love Beachbody On Demand. You've heard us talk about it before. You'll hear us talk about it again. You're going to hear us talk about it right now a little bit more. It's an easy on-demand streaming service that gives you instant access to a wide variety of super effective workouts you can do from the comfort of your living room. I think that's what Jared and I love most about it, is you don't have to go to the gym. You can basically just do any workout in a short amount of time at your house, 10, 20 minutes, however long you have. Hundreds of effective workouts for all fitness levels, ranging from booty building to weight training to cardio, the high intensity interval training to yoga and even dance workouts. Again, my favorite is hip hop abs.
Mine's 21 day fix.
I'm going to be perfectly honest with you guys. I've been slacking a little bit, and I'm getting a little doughy around this, the mid region. I'm not doing my hip hop abs as much as I should be, but I'm going to get back to it. I'm kind of glad that winter's coming up because I'm going to be wearing my shirt a lot more than obviously in the summertime here in Los Angeles. The nice thing about Beachbody On Demand, you can access it anywhere, anytime. If you're on your computer, web-enabled TV, tablet, smartphone, Roku, Apple TV, Chromecast, basically any way you can get on the internet, you can get on Beachbody On Demand. Best deal in fitness, for especially for the listeners of Help I Suck at Dating. You guys can try it absolutely free. All you have to do is text DEAN to 303030. That's DEAN to 303030. You get a special free trial membership, including their new 14-day result plan where you can lose up to 9 pounds in the first 2 weeks when you use my code, our code, DEAN, D-E-A-N, to 303030.
And to jump in on that, I think that's a really cool factor because what happens when you go to the gym after 2 weeks and you don't see results?
You get bummed out.
You get bummed out, right? You don't want to go back. They're saying you can lose 9 pounds in the first 2 weeks. You get to see results in 14 days, guys.
Just make sure you couple it with healthy eating, and Beachbody On Demand will be able to help you plan your meals, basically outline the nutritional value of everything that you need to reach your weight loss goals. So again, you'll get full access to the entire platform for free, all the workouts and nutrition information, the results plan to get you super fast results and support totally for free. All you have to do is text DEAN to 303030. That's DEAN to 303030. Be sure to try Beachbody On Demand. Like I said, I got to get back into it and get my abs back in shape. I was actually looking through old pictures of like when I was traveling, because I was just in Mexico with my buddy Courtney, and I posted a picture and everyone was like, okay, dad bod, weird flex, whatever
what?
It is. And so I was like scrolling through my old pictures and I was like, I should probably post a picture from when I was doing Beachbody On Demand to remind myself that I can sometimes have hip hop abs.
Dean, you do not have a dad bod whatsoever. But sometimes I do that too. I'll look at old pictures of myself and just I'll fat shame myself. I'm like, you piece of crap. You need to get back in the gym. You looked so much better then, and look at you now.
Yeah.
Look how horrible you look now.
Exactly.
You have a beautiful fiance. You need to get your ass back in the gym.
Can we get Vanessa on the phone? I miss hearing her voice. Let's get her on the phone.
Let's get her on the phone.
If you haven't listened to last week's episode, I'm just talking to everyone in the studio right now, not the listeners per se.
Oh, okay. So continue.
Listen to last week's episode with Vanessa Grimaldi. Her good friend Brandi Cyrus joined her as a co-host.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, look who it is.
Look what the cat dragged in.
I miss you guys.
Do we want to do
it more?
Do you want to do FaceTime audio or is this okay? We can't do FaceTime audio.
So
that's
we're going to do it this way. What's up, Vanessa?
Not much. I was waiting for you guys to call me.
Listen, full disclosure, I don't care anymore. Vanessa texted Dean and said, don't have them come right now. I'm pooping. So the question is, Vanessa, are you still pooping?
No, I washed my hands. I'm sitting on my chair right now in my kitchen. So we're good. Yeah.
It's okay. We all poop. Loved it. So Vanessa, you had a solo podcast last week that
I did.
We listened to, and just can you give like everybody a brief summary of what you talked about?
Yeah. So first of all, I keep putting it out there. All the thank yous to the people who have been listening, who did listen to last week's episode. Brandi Cyrus was on, Elle from the Mend App. We even had Dr. Jennifer, who basically told me that in the next 6 months, I'm going to detox from everything. And I remember what she said about like the last 30 years, like something about the moon and the stars or something.
We're moving into the age of Scorpio or something, isn't that right?
Yeah,
we're in Scorpio right now. Right.
Yeah, something that everything that I've learned the last 30 years, I've learned, I've grown from it, and now I'm going to move on into like bigger and better things. So it was like a really great, I guess, a reading, I can call it that. But I really opened up about my dating life, the last person I was recently dating, and how that didn't work out, and how you can be really disappointed when you, even if you're dating someone for like a week or 3 months or whatever, which is really funny. I was just on the phone with Taylor Nolan from, we were on the same season, and I'm like, why am I so, I'm not so bothered by it, but yesterday we were talking about men and whatever, and she was supposed to go on a date, and she got ditched on her date, and then I was like, you know what? Right? I know. Taylor's like such a great catch, but that's the thing. Most women, most of my friends are such great catches, and yet we're still single. And then she brought up a really good point, though. She's like, well, what's sad is even nowadays, dating someone for 3 months is a significant amount of time. And I'm like, it's so sad, but true.
Oh, yeah. I think about that all the time. I think about like if somebody's like, oh, my marriage ended after 10 years. It's like, oh, well, that's pretty good.
Good for
pretty
you.
Pretty good 10 yeah. years. Wow. Hey, and then you're like, oh, wait a minute. That's not supposed to last 10 years. It's supposed to last a lifetime.
Whatever happened with that guy that Taylor was seeing before you guys went to Bali together?
That's her story to tell, but I really like him.
Let's
he's
get
a
her
really
on.
Good guy. Well, she's a really good guy.
Since she's not here, Vanessa, can you tell a story for her?
No, I can't tell a story for her. But
well, that's fair. Well, Vanessa, you talked about moving on to bigger and better things. What are some of those bigger and better things you think?
I think right now I'm just at a, and I have to say, all the messages that people were sending me from last week's episode, they were so uplifting. I got so many stories of women saying they were single for so many years and they kind of just like gave up and lost hope on finding the love of their life. And then a couple months later, they found the person, they're married and they're pregnant with their third child. And basically a lot of these messages were just telling me, enjoy the time that you have being single, because when it happens so quick. And you don't even realize that you're walking down the aisle, you know? So it was so interesting to get that perspective from women and men. I think right now I'm just at a point where I'm back to, and I've spoken about this before, whenever I go through a little bit of a heartbreak, it takes me, give me like 2 weeks to really talk about it and be really, really upset. Mm. But then after that, it's like kind of like the flu. It goes away and I'm like, oh, I woke up and I'm so much better.
Yeah,
so I'm at a point where, it's out of my system. I detox from it. And I'm just focusing on work. I'm focusing on spending time with my friends and my family and just really being present and valuing the positive energy that I have around me. And I'm so lucky to have such amazing people around me. And sometimes when we're going through tough times, we tend to forget how amazing our life really is. So I'm at that stage right now. That's my big and better thing.
Totally. I find myself doing it all the time where I think about the bad things happening in my life and I just completely ignore all the good things. And you have to really kind of center yourself and realize I have a pretty good life. You know, you just put everything in perspective. The reason I asked about bigger and better things because so on the Facebook group, which guys, if you're listening, you haven't joined the Facebook group.
Get on it.
What are you doing?
Yeah.
The Facebook group and Instagram.
Yeah.
Do you run the Instagram, Dean?
I run the Instagram.
All right. So you're pretty much following two accounts by Dean, which sounds like a wonderful idea if you're asking me. But on the Facebook group, I was asking like if anybody had any questions they wanted us to answer. And one by Rachel said, 5-year plans. Like she wants to know, what is our 5-year plan? Dean, do you have a 5-year plan?
I don't even have a 5-day plan. I don't know what I'm going to be doing.
I don't think Dean has a 5-hour plan. You just got off a plane, right? You were in Buffalo with Jason and Blake.
5 a.m. flight from Buffalo to L.A. this morning. What is it? That's a good question, though. 5-year plan, because I feel like it could be pretty important to set something like that for yourself.
Well, we just had Lauren on the podcast who said that like you should follow a script. So, Vanessa, she was kind of saying what you were just saying as well, where like you just kind of have to accept rejection and accept like certain no's in your life, but able to like overcome them. And so her idea is like sticking to the script, so to speak. So like you have a script of what you're going to do for the day, for the week, for your life, so on and so forth. And you need to like keep following that script no matter how many no's you get, no matter how many rejections you get. And that's kind of what you were just speaking upon.
Yeah, I was actually watching one of her YouTube channels, and it spoke about rejection, but when it came to being rejected from work, but I apply that to the dating world, and it's so true. When you get rejected, it's like, oh, a stab to the heart, you know, because I was just talking to Taylor about how she got basically rejected and ditched on a date that she was supposed to go on this week, and it just stung. It's like your ego's bruised, but then at the same time, you're like, take the high road, don't get into that state of being super emotional and sending a text message or really going after them and giving them the attention when you should just take a step back, like thank them for their time. And I think it's important to always have a good relationship with everyone that came into your life because they came into your life and they left at the right time. I'm really starting to believe that. And we had this conversation last episode too. Everyone that comes into our life teaches us a lesson, and they're going to stay in our lives as long as they need to teach us that lesson.
All right, question for both of you guys then. I wasn't going to share this. Well, I've been mulling something over in my head. So I'm going to South America next week for 3 weeks. And it just so happens that Leslie lived in Argentina for 2 years. And so, Vanessa, to your point, I wanted to reach out to Leslie and be like, hey, we haven't talked obviously since the breakup. I wanted to reach out and be like, hey, I know you obviously travel a lot. You know a lot about South America. Would you be willing to give me some recommendations? Tell me what I should and shouldn't do, et cetera, et cetera.
I wouldn't go directly to what it is that you need. Ask her. Yeah, I would be like, hey, you know, like, it's sad that we haven't really been in contact, blah, 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 blah. I'll make it about her in the first, like, two or three lines and then be like, you know, I thought about you. You crossed my mind because I'm going to South America and I figured.
That sounds like a kind of a little bit of a lead on, though, don't you? Well, maybe not a lead on, but.
Not a lead on, but just, you know, if you're writing to someone that you haven't spoken to a while and the first thing is like, hey, I need this. Can you figure out, like, my itinerary for South America? It's like, dude, I'm not
like more so
that,
just, like a couple of recommendations. But I see what you're saying. It definitely makes a lot of sense.
I battle with this sometimes in my own life where I think, okay, not that I need something from somebody, but obviously I'm reaching out to someone for something specific. So do I try to beat around the bush at first and be like, hey, how are you? What's going on? Cool. By the way, this...
Right.
Is it better to do that, or is it better to just be like, hey, hope all is well. I was curious about ..
See, that's what I think is better, the latter.
It depends what the relationship was. If it was just like a friend that you...
Well, even if it's like a friend or an ex, I think in any capacity, I would rather just kind of know what's going on right out of the gates.
Because it is weird to be like, what do you want? If you're just reaching out and being like, hey, I was thinking about you. How are you?
Right, but I wouldn't be sending I wouldn't send like a message like, hey, thought about you, send. No, I would say, hey, hope you're doing well. I see, you know, like maybe go on her Instagram, see what she's been up to. I see that you've been blah, 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 blah. I'm actually also going to be traveling to South America and you crossed my mind because I know you lived there for a couple years or whatever the case is. Would you have any recommendations? I wouldn't start a conversation like, hey, send. And then if I would get that from an ex, I'd be like, oh my God, do they want to get back with me? Like, are they going to apologize for shit that they
did? What if Nick texted you and said, hey, I'm going to be in Montreal?
Nick would never text me. That's cute.
Hypothetically asking.
Yeah. Okay. If he would text me, I obviously know he wouldn't want to get back with me, but I would be like, oh, yay. What's up, friend?
Right, but I'm saying, like, if he had something specific, he was like, oh, I'm going to Italy and I want a recommendation from an Italian.
Actually, yeah, I would be like, oh, yeah, and here are the recommendations.
Yeah, it's nice.
I guess.
It's tough. I feel like it might be one of those situations where you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't. Because if you reach out and you start off being very vague and friendly, then she might be like, just get to the point. Like, you could have just texted me and asked me for what you wanted. But then conversely, if you don't do that and you just reach out and ask for what you want, she's might just be like, oh, what a jerk. He didn't even like ask how I'm doing. He was just like, hey, I'm going here. So I think you're screwed either way, Dean. So maybe it's best if you don't reach out.
You know what? I reached out to someone today. So I don't know if you guys are in the studio. Is Mark in the studio today?
No, he's not with us. We're stuck with Easton.
Hey, can I help?
Easton. Hey, okay. Remember when I was talking about this guy that I dated and for my birthday, all he sent me was a happy born day text message?
You told me about that too.
Sad about that.
Yeah. Happy what?
Happy born day. He just was not very affectionate.
Right. So we're not seeing each other anymore. And today I knew it was his birthday. And I'm like, you know what? Like, I like being on good terms with people. I hate harboring negative feelings. So I sent him a message. Might have been savage, but I thought it was funny. So I sent him a message saying happy born day. He thought it was hilarious. He's like, ha, thank you.
I don't know if that's right back. I don't know if you really understand what the definition of savage is, Vanessa.
Yeah. When she said savage, I was like, I'm very curious where this conversation is about to go. And then she was like, I said happy born day.
Oh, got him.
Savage.
Got him. Drag him.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
Oh, God.
No. What were you going to say, Vanessa?
So I posted on Facebook, on Instagram, too, what kind of questions our listeners wanted to know. Or topics that they wanted us to bring up.
Mm-hmm.
And there was one.
I saw that on your Instagram. It was, what do you think about sleeping with someone on the first date?
Yes. Okay, let's get to that one. First date.
So what's your question?
Okay, so the question is, sex on the first date, if it's really clicking, yes or no? Is that a good idea to sleep with someone?
I'm going to say no.
It's a hard no.
Oh, not even a maybe? No. Hard no.
I mean, I'm not saying it can't work out. What I'm saying is I just find it always better to wait and the anticipation grow.
Oh.
Let it blossom. Because it's
right,
really...
Right, but I think...
Oh, what are you gonna say?
I think it also depends on if you're...
listen, you know, everyone can do their own thing. No judgment here. But if you want to be with someone long term, then no, I suggest wait it out. But if it's someone that you're like, I want to have fun, I'm single, I don't think this is going to go anywhere, then why not?
Well, I mean, if you're looking for just a hookup, totally. Why not? Like, right. Hey, to each their own. No judgment here. But if you're asking me like, hey, to start off a really serious relationship, like I like this guy, should I just sleep with him the first night? No, like make them wait. No. Make it, especially be fun. Let the romance grow. Let it blossom. Like there's something to be said about anticipation, especially for a guy. Like craving something, wanting something, and not being able to get it. Like there's like this. Mm-hmm. It's this passion, you know.
Because you guys are hunters.
We are hunters.
Love to chase.
We are providers, and we are hunters.
Okay, so question for you.
Dean is a hunter.
I was going to say, we need to
Dean's
break down
passive hunter.
The gender stereotypes of our generation,
oh,
but that's okay.
Come on.
That's okay.
Relax.
No, I mean, listen. No, Dean is not. Dean, honestly, is like the mushiest, sweetest person ever.
I'm a nurturer. I'm a gatherer.
Yeah, no, but you're also a hunter. Derek, for someone who now, you hunted, right? And now you have Ashley. So do you feel like you still need to hunt being engaged? Not hunt other women. I'm saying, do you still feel like there needs to be a push and pull in the relationship?
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
It keeps it alive. It keeps it fresh.
Yeah.
You know, I find times that it does, certainly not stale, but we're so comfortable with each other that you forget that there is this fun to that pull and push within a relationship.
Let me paint a hypothetical scenario for you real quick, Jared, and it's going to get uncomfortable. Let's say you and Ashley are out in a year or so from now, just out and about, having fun, doing your thing.
Having a little fun.
Having a little fun. At this point, I guess you're married, right? Because it's a year from now. You meet a man or a woman who you guys both just click with immediately.
Woo! Are you bringing him to the bed?
And then you guys are like, what?
Are you asking me on air right now if I'm open to have a threesome?
Yes. I was going to try and get there more eloquently, but yes, that's 100% what I'm asking you.
No. That's something you have to, like, no, I don't think so. For the simple fact that, like, it's gotten to a point now with my relationship with Ashley where the idea of, like, having that intimacy with somebody else, even if Ashley was present, is something I'm not sure if I could go through because I don't think I'd want that. Because, like, I mean, this is a little uncomfortable, I guess, but, like, sex does change, right? Like, mm-hmm. sex changes from the beginning of a relationship as you go further into it. It just does. And so I think, oh, man, the way I, you know, it's just one of those things I could never imagine myself physically being in that moment with somebody else than Ashley.
Right.
Well, even if Ashley was present and she was like, yes, I want this.
Dean said in a year from now, I don't think if I've never had a threesome, am I open to the idea? Yeah. but I don't know how I can do that because I'm only intimate with people that I really, really like and I really connect to. And I'm like, well, I don't want to share that
hold
with
on
someone else.
Are we just gonna are we gonna glaze over the fact that Vanessa just admitted that she is
open to a
willing and wanting a threesome?
I mean, I thought it doesn't, but my explanation kind of makes sense, right?
I guess
no. I mean, that's fantastic.
So I was with Jason and Blake this past weekend, and we were talking about this for, like, briefly. It was what would it take for you to be open to the idea? And I think the unanimous answer between the three of us was, in the event that you are in love with the person that you're with and you love them dearly, whatever it is, then I think it's kind of off the table as a possibility.
It is. Because it's just, it's one of those things that, like, for me, and I don't want to speak for Ashley, but, like, man, it's such a personal experience that, like, when you're with somebody that you care so much about, it's like, I don't want to do this with somebody else. Like, it's just, it's weird now. I don't know.
Okay, but so let's say 10 years or 20 years down the line.
Well, who the hell knows? Like, if I'm being honest, I can't really project 10 years from now being, like, my mindset or where Ashley and I are within our relationship. And so, Who knows? I mean, there's other ways to spice up your sex life without bringing somebody else into it, though. So, like, I'll be honest. This is whatever. Ashley and I have been to an adult store together.
Okay, that's.
But like, I feel like people are uncomfortable talking about that. Like, it was just like we went in together, and it was
way more intense.
Yeah.
No, I know it's not that intense, but it's also it's kind of like a little taboo. I remember the first time I went into an adult store. It was amazing.
So what was the intention of you and her going to the store together?
Just to like, we were looking for something specific, and
how specific? What was it specifically?
Well, I won't say something specifically, but no. And
did
so
you find what you were looking for?
We did. And I don't know. I feel uncomfortable talking about this anymore.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
It's just one of those things that, like, you just have to be comfortable going into, you know, exploring new territories.
Right,
so
of course. Okay.
100%. Yeah.
So back to the sex store thing. You found what you were looking for. Did you unpackage it that night?
Oh, come on. Now, that's a little bit too far. I will say, so the first time I ever went into an adult store, I was like 20, man, 21, 22. And I went in by myself at like 2 o'clock in the afternoon on a Friday.
Why?
Because I've never been in a sex store. So I was like, I need to experience this. I want to go
Wait,
in.
How old were you?
I was about probably like 21, 22. And and so I went in there, and it was just me and this one other guy. He was probably in his 80s, and he was in the DVD porn section.
Oh, good for him.
And it was, right? It was just the most endearing thing because, you know, technology, this was like 2012. This guy was still going with the DVDs. Loved it. But it was like this weird experience, but very cool. The woman there was very friendly, and she was like, hi, if there's anything I can help you with, please let me know. And I'm like, just looking around at all the fish nets, and this is very nice too.
You want to know what wasn't around back in 2002? What would have maybe been, or 2012 would have been helpful for you after that traumatic experience?
Well, I don't know. Traumatic.
I'm just saying, if you needed it, it would have been around Talkspace. You guys have heard us talk about Talkspace before.
Of course.
They're one of the sponsors of today's show, the online therapy company that lets you message a licensed therapist from anywhere at any time. All you need is a computer with internet connection or the Talkspace mobile app. That means you can improve your mental health even if you've had trouble making time for it in the past. Say you're at a sex shop and you just want to squeeze in a quick therapy session. Squeeze was maybe the wrong adjective to use there. Remember that therapy isn't just about venting your innermost thoughts or digging into childhood memories. It's also about practical everyday strategies for stress management and living a happier life. By having a therapist, it simply provides you a designated person for you to talk to who's trained to help listen and help you make positive changes. The Talkspace platform has over 2,000 licensed therapists who are experienced in addressing life challenges that all of us face. To match with the perfect therapist for a fraction of the price of traditional therapy. And I know this because therapy is expensive. It's kind of brutal.
Yeah, no.
That's what's great about Talkspace. To match with a perfect therapist for a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, go to Talkspace.com/Dean and use the code Dean to get $45 off your very first month and show your support for this show, which is obviously very, very great. We wouldn't be around without our sponsors, and Talkspace obviously is one of our favorite ones. So again, go to Talkspace.com/Dean. That's Talkspace.com/DEAN and use the code DEAN to get $45 off your very first month. Be sure to check it out. Maybe you can, you know, work through some of the issues that you've had seeing some of those sites in the sex store that you might have had to deal with, you know?
Yeah, you know, it was a eye-opening experience a few years ago. Now it's fine, obviously.
What else do we want to talk about?
Well, it's interesting to get through some of these questions that people had either through Vanessa's Instagram or the Facebook group.
Yeah, I have a few other ones.
Sure. Why don't you ask one and then I'll ask one.
Okay. Well, this is an interesting one. Hold on. I'm just swiping through it. When is it okay to start discussing marriage in a relationship? So my answer was,
it's never too early.
What? Never too early? Oh, who said that, Dean?
Yes.
Dean, you want to marry me?
Well,
what?
No.
How did we jump to that?
I'm really surprised that Dean said it's never too early.
Well, I'm just saying, like, it's just good to communicate those important pillars of a relationship.
Did you say no to my marriage proposal?
Yes, I did.
You little s***. Okay. My answer is, if you're in a place where you know you want to be in a serious relationship, then, yeah, it's never too early. But if you're single and you want to have fun and you want to just connect people and just meet people, then don't bring marriage up, because that's just going to ruin it.
Yeah, well, I think probably the person asking is in some sort of committed relationship. So they're probably asking, like, So hypothetically, say two people are dating, they're in a committed relationship, they are exclusive, boyfriend, girlfriend. How long do you think into the relationship should they maybe start discussing, hey, is marriage on the table for you?
Like I said, I don't think it's ever too early, because for the simple fact that, say, they are misaligned on their thoughts of marriage, future plans, whatever it is, and then they go through a year or two of dating without discussing it, come to find out one wants to get married, one doesn't want to get married ever, like not just for the person, but just they don't believe in marriage, whatever it is, then boom, there goes 2 years of your life dating someone that wasn't going to fulfill what you wanted to have.
Yeah, I completely agree. Yep.
I had a traumatic experience. The love of my life, after 2 years, admitted that he wasn't sure if he wanted kids. And this is after us looking for a house with like 5 bedrooms and talking about baby names and all that. And then one morning he wakes up, he's like, I don't know if I want kids. And that was my window of, whoa, I need
Wait, you just said that you guys talked about baby names.
Yeah. Yeah. It was really messed up.
So he's like, really, well, I love a baby name. I love the name Dean. But I don't ever want kids.
When I never have kids. I think what happened was he was in a relationship that he was really happy with, and he wanted to be able to give me that, but he wasn't sure if he wanted that. So he was being selfless for me, but at the same time, I think he just needed to explore other things in life before he got there. So that was very traumatic for me. And after that relationship, that was one of my first questions. I'm like, dude, do you want kids? Not that I want to have kids with you, but maybe one day I might want to have kids with you. So I kind of need to know if you do or don't.
I think that might be a shortcoming for me when it comes to relationships, is I don't know exactly what I want. I see myself getting married at some point in life, but I'm also not 100% certain about it. So like, if I were to meet someone that was like, I don't want to ever get married, or I don't ever want to have kids, I would almost be like, okay, well, let's see if this works out anyways.
Yeah.
Like, I know I definitely want kids at some point, but again, I'm like, I'm not steadfast in being 100% of married, wanting to have kids and all that kind of stuff.
Oh,
but I do. But like I said, I think that I want kids. But if someone came along and like 2 years into a relationship, they're like, I don't want kids, I would almost like, it wouldn't be a deal breaker for me because I'm kind of a pushover like that.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think I don't agree. You're a pushover. I agree on your point. I think that it's okay for people to change your mind. Like, something that you wanted 5 years ago isn't necessarily something that you want now. So like, sure, right now you might say, I'm thinking about marriage and I want kids. But then 5 years from now, you're with somebody and you're like, you know what? We don't need to get married. We love each other. We can just spend the rest of our lives without signing paperwork. And then furthermore, I kind of changed my mind. I don't think I want to bring kids into this world. I don't think I'd be a good dad, so on and so forth, even though that's completely wrong, because Dean, you'd make a fantastic father. You're a very, very warm human being.
Have you and Ashley discussed baby names or anything like that?
Children? Yeah, totally. We both want kids. And that was kind of what I was getting to, because for me, I always imagined myself getting married and having kids. But honestly, over the past couple of years, my mind was going back and forth whether I ever wanted to get married, whether I wanted kids to start a family.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until Ashley and I started dating, and then I knew that this was something I wanted to, somebody I want to spend the rest of my life with, that I realized this is the woman I want to have kids with. Because for me, I wanted kids, but it was more important for me to have kids with the right person. Because I've seen friends and family members go through that difficult times where they've had kids unexpectedly with somebody that they're no longer with. And it really just causes so much stress on everybody involved that for me, I was like, I want to make sure that I find the right person before we start trying to have kids.
I don't even think it's just unexpectedly having kids with someone. I think it's the mentality, the old school mentality of, at a certain age, you should find someone and you should get married. And these are the expectations that society puts on us, especially on women. And I think oftentimes some relationships end up dying out because that's what we thought we needed, and that's what we thought we needed to do at that time in our life, but we just needed to explore other options and figure out our own, you know, careers, and figure out, we're changing so often, we need to be able to be comfortable with ourselves before we're comfortable being with someone and bringing another person into this world. My parents got divorced when I was 18, and I come from a very traditional Italian family. We were one of the first Italian families to be divorced in our community. So it was really hard for me to process that, because I didn't have anyone that really understood what I was going through. And I come from a traditional background where I'm like, how am I supposed to be dealing with this right now, when all I ever knew and understood and believed in was the family unit and coming home to a mom and dad in one household. So for me, it was really hard. And I think that's why Yeah. I'm happy that I'm still single at this point at 31, and the heartbreaks that I'm going through are very minimal compared to what my parents had to go through. And so I want to make sure that I do end up with the right person, and who has the same values as I do. Like, I want to be with someone who's like, yeah, I want kids. I want that family. I want that unity.
To take a step backwards.
Well, I was going to talk about, for a second, just to throw it in there, for women too, it's not just society about having kids, it's also the biological clock. Like, and that's a very real thing that women are scared of.
We're going to freeze Vanessa's eggs. We've all agreed to do that. It's not her decision anymore. It's ours.
And then when you and Vanessa get married, Dean, you guys, you know, can have a plentiful
amount of kids. No, Dean didn't even bring up marriage. He's just like, let's have babies.
To take a step back, Jared.
Dean.
Before we jump into Thrive Market, which is phenomenal. Would you be willing to talk about your and Ashley's conversations as it pertains to kids? Like, how many you want, baby names, like all that kind of stuff? Have you discussed that? And would you be willing to, like...
She feels she doesn't want to say the baby name because she's terrified of somebody stealing it.
Oh, gosh.
Which is absurd because I'm sure there's plenty of names that this... The names that she seven? Came up with.
What letter does it start with?
Seven. I'm not saying that. I'm not. I don't want to get yelled at, okay?
Okay, fine.
Okay, but how many kids do you plan on having?
We want 14. So...
Stop! Nick Vial family.
Oh, love it. Come on. Big family. But to move forward, we want to move forward with a wonderful product that we are all very familiar with, Thrive Market. Dean, tell us a little bit about Thrive Market.
Thrive. I've been talking about it all day off air, but Thrive Market basically is a revolutionary online marketplace on a mission to make healthy living easy and affordable for everyone. I love that all of our sponsors are good companies like Thrive Market, Beachbody On Demand to obviously get your butt in shape.
Totally. Thrive is a non-GMO, has non-GMO foods, natural products. They're always at 25 to 50% below traditional retail prices. We actually have Thrive in studio right now.
Well, it's just me, Amy, but hi.
Well, it's Amy.
So here's what I did, because I don't trust you guys to do things for yourselves because you're lazy.
It's fair.
So I went on Thrive and shopped for you. I was blown away. Like, I have to tell you guys, I knew what it was. You got to go check it out because it's basically like everything you would get at Whole Foods.
It's fantastic.
For so much less. Mm. I could not believe how affordable it was. So I got you guys presents.
Yay, we love presents.
Okay. Aww, I kind of asked you guys what your favorites are. So Jared, I got you the Justin's Milk Chocolate Peanut Butter Cup.
Delicious.
Jackpot. And then Dean, I got you because I know you always are hungry and need snacks. So I got you the classic round crackers.
Great.
All super healthy, non-GMO, and then Annie's homegrown snack mix. So it's like your favorite. It has your like cheddar thing, your pretzel.
Big cracker guy, crackers. Big cheddar guy.
Yes. Then, you guys, this is what's amazing. I started shopping for my nieces. So they have toys. So you can get all the toys. So I got my niece a little watering can, like an Sesame Street watering can, and like a backpack/lunch bag. I'm telling you guys, I got everything.
I'm not gonna lie.
A box full. I know it's cute.
I'm a little disappointed because I thought the backpack was for me.
Okay, you can use the backpack. It's like a monkey, and they had a ladybug too. But you could do all your shopping there. Like, it's literally for the holidays. You could do everything. And it is not expensive. That is what blew my mind. And then I thought, this will never make it in time. It got here so fast. Like, I did not know enough about this, so I'm really telling you, go to thrivemarket.com. I'm telling you guys, just shop around on there because this exceeded my expectations.
And so not only is Thrive really cheap to begin with, it ships directly to your door, so it takes the hassle of trying to go to the supermarket, park, carrying all the bags. Literally, it gets shipped so quickly right to your door. You can go to thrivemarket.com. Not only is Thrive already 25 to 50% below traditional retail price, but you can go to thrivemarket.com/Dean. And guess what? You're getting an additional 25% off your first order and a 30-day free trial.
And you can order wine.
And you can order wine. There's alcohol in there as well. Perfect.
My favorite thing about Thrive is their eco-friendly cleaning. Like, they have eco-friendly, non-toxic products, non-GMO food. It's all stuff that's...
Dean, I got you a loofah sponge. I forgot.
Well, what do I use the loofah sponge with?
Water, because you mean because you don't want to use the soap?
Well, I wouldn't use soap.
I know, but you could still exfoliate with just the water and the loofah.
Okay, I'm going to use the loofah. I'm going to report back next week and tell you guys how exfoliated my skin is because of the loofah.
You're never going to go back.
One more time for the listeners out there. You don't want to miss it. ThriveMarket.com/Dean. Jared said it. You'll get an extra 25% off your very first order plus a free 30-day trial. Unbelievable deals, unbelievable shipping time, unbelievable products, just in time for the holidays. Be sure to check it out, thrivemarket.com/Dean.
Literally, you can get me a whole Christmas present on
there. There we go.
Love it. We already found what we're getting Amy for Christmas. Thrive. Got to go with Thrive. To go back to one other question, moving forward from the Facebook group. So this is from Christy. Dean, you might want to weigh on this. Christy says, if a guy texts you that he wants a girlfriend and you guys are already casually dating, but seeing other people, is that just a 12-year-old way of saying, I want you to be my girlfriend?
Wait, repeat that?
So this guy, these two, apparently this guy and girl, kind of casually seeing each other, and then he texted her saying, hey, you know, I kind of want a girlfriend. Is he just beating around the bush?
Well, at first, I don't like that to begin with, just because it's a little ambiguous, right? Like, it's not very clear.
It's very unclear, and I completely agree, Christy, what you're saying. It does sound like that he is just beating around the bush and trying to ask you to be his girlfriend.
Two schools of that. He could be doing that, or he could also be saying, I want a girlfriend, which means you and I should not be talking anymore. There's two schools of thought there. Neither of them are the most encouraging, because he's not clearly communicating what's going on. I personally, I'm trying to put myself in his shoes, texting a girl, I want a girlfriend.
And they've been casually seeing each other, but seeing other people too.
I would say that means that he probably wants her to be his girlfriend. Mm-hmm. If I were to guess, if I was seeing a girl and I texted her that, it would be because I want her to be my girlfriend.
No, Dean, you wouldn't message someone that. You would be more direct.
Well, I would not personally, but I'm saying, like, I'm trying to put myself in his shoes and trying to help her out. It sounds like he wants to be her boyfriend. I'm trying to get like to the root reason behind.
I want a girlfriend.
What was that, Vanessa?
That's me thinking like, nah, if he wants, no, because what if that's what he's doing, if he does want to be her boyfriend, and that's his way of starting a conversation about that, he's just planting all these crazy seeds in her head right now. Mm. Like, if that were me, I'd be like, oh, is he telling me this because he thinks I'm a friend and he wants me to help him, like, is he going to talk to me about these other dates that he's been on? Does he want me to find him a girlfriend? Like, why is he telling me? He's talking to her like he's a friend. Like, she's a friend. I want a girlfriend. You're not going to tell someone that you're dating, I want a girlfriend. It's either I want to be with you, or I'm going to talk to
you. How does that line get crossed? Because she's right. I think I was 12 years old when I walked up to a girl that I was like talking to, and I was like, I want you to be my girlfriend. And people like looked at me like that was a weird thing to do.
Well, at 12, you're just made fun of for liking the anybody.
Well, it was more so of like how I approached the situation of, you don't just ask someone to be your girlfriend. You kind of just like let it culminate into being boyfriend and girlfriend.
Yeah. Well, you have to ask at some point, don't you?
How do you approach the subject now? I mean, obviously Jared is engaged, so maybe it's more towards Vanessa and I. Like, say you like someone.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, let's be boyfriend, girlfriend. Do you just walk up to them and be like, let's be my girlfriend, please?
No, I think you have the talk of being exclusive, because for the first couple of weeks or months or whatever, however you guys decide to be dating, be open and communicate what you're doing. If you're just exclusively dating each other, if you're being open to forming other connections with other people, aka being on The Bachelor. And then once you realize, I don't want to be dating anyone else, then you have the topic of being exclusive.
Let me ask you something, Vanessa. What do you think? Don't you think it might be the most adorable thing you've ever heard if a guy walked up to you after going on a few dates and said, would you want to be my girlfriend?
Yeah.
You would melt.
Sounds pretty cute.
Yes.
I think, ask. I think it's the most adorable thing if a guy's like, I want you to be my girlfriend.
What about asking to go steady? Because that's what I used to do.
Well, I remember like you telling school.
Yeah, I've said that on this podcast before, but
I think that's like a high school thing, right? Did you ask in high school?
No, I was like 25.
No, like, this is my wife. I asked if she wanted to go steady.
Yeah. Hey, it worked. I'm married.
Yeah, that's pretty steady. That's the definition of steadiness.
I think like steady for me is like a high, like, hey, they're going steady. Do you want to go steady? That just reminds me of like,
it sounds like
years.
You're asking someone to hit the books with you because you got to go to the library and study for an exam or something. Hey, you want to go steady?
God.
Maybe that's what she thought you were asking her. Hey, you want to go hit the books and learn about chemistry?
This guy must be really smart.
This guy really wants to go study.
Yeah, he really wants to go study. I think now, like, because it used to be like kind of not taboo, but it was like, you don't say girlfriend, man. It's like you ask if it goes steady, you guys are hanging out, you guys don't even talk about it, you just stop seeing other people. I kind of like it though. I kind of like when a guy's like, hey, be my girlfriend.
I've shared it before on this podcast about, I mean, it's always kind of weird to bring up past relationships, right? But with Leslie and I, here we go. Let's get weird. With Leslie and I in Winter Games, I didn't want to have that like ambiguity of like, what are we? Are we dating? Or do you want to date other people? So I just like started referring to her as my girlfriend. Like it was like a week and a half in the relationship. She would like walk away and people would be like, I'd be like, where'd my girlfriend go? And then eventually it was just like, okay, well, we're boyfriend, girlfriend.
Yeah, but yeah. Were you joking?
No, I was dead serious. I mean, I don't know. I'm a immature boy at times. Like, I don't really know how to handle that situation. So my way of handling it was just like referring to her to other people as my girlfriend. And then by like the fourth or fifth time I said it, she was like, why do you keep calling me your girlfriend? I was like, well, because you are my girlfriend. And she's like, okay, that's fine. You'll be my boyfriend though.
It was, and you're like, no, no, that's a whole different conversation.
Yeah.
Let's slow the roll. Okay.
No, that's how I handled it. Again, I'm not sure if I would encourage other people to handle it the same way, but it's one way to go about it. I have obviously not had a girlfriend since then, so I'm 0-1 in those relationships.
You just take your time. You're focused on Dean right now.
Right, focusing on Dean.
Actually, I was reading an article. So this story about Nikki Bella. She's John Cena's ex-girlfriend.
Are they back together?
No, apparently. But I was looking up dating articles, you know, trying to get prepared for the podcast a little bit. And then I was reading one where Nikki Bella like finally spoke out about the relationship after John Cena, and she said, like, from what she could tell, Bella is like pretty much focusing on her own happiness right now, which doesn't necessarily that she needs to be with someone romantically. She said she's not even thinking about dating right now. She's been so busy working and spending time with her friends and family, it's not a priority. Vanessa, what are your thoughts about that? Because, like, do you think that's kind of a cop out? Like, do you think what people say, you know, I can't even date right now because I'm so busy.
No.
You think that's an actual thing?
Yep.
How about when somebody says that they're just focused on their own happiness right now, that they don't even want to, like, think about jumping into a relationship with somebody?
No, I think that's so healthy. I think people oftentimes have that void that they need to fill, and they're like, oh, I need the attention, or, oh, I need to be hanging out with someone. There's nothing more powerful and more nurturing than just being by yourself and enjoying your own presence. And I talk about this, I love being single, and when I'm single, I actually just work on myself, I focus on my career, I focus on my health, I focus on things that make me happy and make me whole, and so I don't need to be going out to find someone to fill that void. And then when I do meet someone, it's because they're a great addition to what I already have and what I already build on.
Dean, what are your thoughts about that? Like, the balance between finding your, like, making yourself happy on your own versus, like, trying to put effort into finding someone else and be in a relationship.
I think I was actually having a conversation just the other day about this. I think it's hard to compartmentalize the things, especially like nowadays that we're not working traditional 9-to-5 jobs. We don't have like the 40-hour work week to distract us from dating. And it's like, well, when you have a podcast about dating, and when you've been on TV shows about dating, then it's like
our life is surrounded by it.
Right. And so it's like, well, you take a step back, and yes, of course, focus on yourself, improve yourself, all that kind of stuff. And as I mentioned before, I'm doing that same thing right now as well. But it's hard when everything else kind of brings it back to dating. It's like when you're trying to get dating out of your mind, but then you have to bring it up and talk about it so often.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of where I'm at with it. It's like, yes, I'm trying
to
put it
pulled off to dating right now.
Well, no. And like I said before, like I'm back dating again. Like, I've been going on dates.
Yeah.
Well, I think what the quote that got me was that it said, Nikki's not even thinking about dating right now. She's been so busy working and spending time with her friends and family. And it just made me think, like, not to say that, you know, this quote could be dramatized, but it made me kind of reflect and be like, not even thinking about dating. And I was trying to think of a time when I was single, man. Was I not even thinking about dating someone? Is that a thing where people
were single for a while? She was engaged to someone. She was dating him. Then they got it. She was with someone for years. I think that's so healthy. If you're with someone for so long and then you kind of lose a little bit of yourself when you're in a relationship and you let go of certain things and you compromise. So I think right now she's probably back to finding herself again. And I think that's extremely healthy in order for her to get back to a place where she can invite someone else into her life.
Yeah, I agree with that, because I think, like you said, when you're in a relationship, I wouldn't necessarily say you lose a part of yourself, but a part of yourself becomes the other person. Like,
right.
There's just a lot of dependency within a relationship, which is a good thing. You know, you're in a relationship, hopefully a great one, a very loving one. Like, there's a part of you that becomes very dependent on that person. And when the relationship ends, it does feel like there's a part of your soul that just went missing. And so I completely agree, Vanessa, where I think that there should be a grievance period of, like, you just trying to figure out yourself and make yourself whole again.
Uh-huh.
What's that rule of thumb? 1 month for every year you were together or something like that?
Nah, I don't believe in that shit.
Whoa. Okay.
Damn, Vanessa.
Hey, Vanessa, welcome to the podcast.
Because it's true. It's then what? So if you dated, my parents were engaged, married for 18 years.
So they each had to take a year and a half off.
So a year and a half off.
Yeah.
No, I don't think there's a timetable. Like, I know some people that have gone out of like very intense relationship, even marriages, and 6 months
really
later.
Quick math, by the way.
Yeah, well, you know, we're pretty smart fellows over here.
Pretty simple equation, to be honest.
Fart smellers, you know. But before we go, before we end the podcast, we want to talk about one more thing on here, which is something we've been talking about for a couple weeks here. 23andMe. Now, this is named after the 23 pairs of chromosomes in your DNA. Their service, you guys know 23andMe. Their service provides you with over 75 genetic reports about your health. They can tell you if you're likely to be lactose intolerant, sleep movement. There's certain traits they can figure out, your eye color, your hair curl, all that good stuff. All you have to do is, all you have to do is spit into a tube, guys. That's really. So they'll send you the tube that's provided in the mail. You send that spit back to the lab. Everyone has a DNA story. You can find out yours. They have a new podcast called, you guessed it, Spit. It's on iHeartRadio with 23andMe. The podcast discusses how science and DNA plays a role in society and our lives, how your DNA story can be experienced today, and a whole lot more.
Yeah. The new podcast, Spit, where the host sits down with the biggest artists and influencers of our time, including Emmy-winning Darren Criss from The Assassination of Gianni Versace. If you guys haven't watched that show, it's phenomenal. Singer Mike Posner, who's always been one of my favorite personally. Subscribe to the Spit podcast to learn more about the DNA found in our spit, to understand who we really are genetically and how we are connected to the world around us. I remember reading a while ago an article about, so the way that the chromosomes work is there's 23 sets in women where they're all X's, right? So it's 23 pairs of X chromosomes, but in the men, that 23rd chromosome is an XY pairing instead of an XX pairing.
Yep.
And I read that in like 1,000 generations or something like that, that the male gender just might be completely eradicated because the Y chromosome is deteriorating over time and can't draw from other X chromosomes because it's just so separate. So like in 1,000 generations, the male just might not even exist, which is just kind of weird to think about.
How would we reproduce?
Well, it's just like a theory, obviously. So who the heck knows? But anyways, listen to the full episodes now on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you listen to podcasts. You're probably listening to this one on iHeartRadio, or I'm sure you can find this Spit podcast wherever you're listening to this one. Check it out. It's called Spit with 23andMe. They're fantastic. You're fantastic for listening and supporting our podcast.
Yes, you are. A big thank you to Thrive Market. You guys can go to thrivemarket.com/Dean to get an extra 25% off your first order and a free 30-day trial. Again, big thank you to Beachbody On Demand. You can get a special free trial membership, including their new 14-day results plan, where you can lose up to 9 pounds in the first 2 weeks when you text Dean, D-E-A-N, to 30-30-30. And another big thank you to Talkspace. You can match with the perfect therapist for a fraction of the price of traditional therapy. You go to Talkspace.com/Dean and use the code Dean, D-E-A-N, to get $45 off your first month. A big thank you to Lauren Berger. Definitely check out her new book, Get It Together. It's on shelves now. Dean, you're awesome. Vanessa, you're incredible. Guys, thank you so much for listening to an all-new episode of Help, I Suck at Dating, where next week, hopefully, we suck a little less.
Follow Help, I Suck at Dating with Dean, Vanessa, and Jared on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts.